tennis is back in a big way. Melbourne's back in a big way.
It's wonderful.
It's great.
This is exactly what tennis needs.
The greatest athlete of all time.
Goff's at the net. Puts it away.
On the line. Brilliant for Tsitsipas.
Brings Medvedev in. Brilliant.
Scurrying to get there as a suck. Up the line for another winner.
The great champion is through.
Djokovic, yes!
What an amazing piece of sporting theatre.
Hello, I'm John Hoovenaars. Welcome to the AO Show. On today's episode, Federer's finale. A legend prepares to go out with a bang at the Laver Cup.
Just felt like the Laver Cup was something special for me to be able to say goodbye. Just felt very fitting at the end.
The Big Four unite as Team Europe looks to tighten its stranglehold.
It's Murray, it's Federer, it's Djokovic, it's Nadal, all on the same side. That's never happened before.
And fire and ice. Captains McEnroe and Borg set to renew hostilities in London.
I've been here many times, so hopefully, finally, there'll be a different result.
That's all ahead on the AO Show. In a week that's seen the final farewell of the greatest icon of the Western world, London is also where the greatest tennis icon will be farewelled from the sport during the fifth edition of the Laver Cup. Roger Federer is set to put a full stop on his glittering 21-year career that's produced 103 singles titles, including 20 Grand Slam singles crowns. The Swiss Master sat down with AO producer Ersin Kaderis to discuss his career and his upcoming retirement.
At what point did you realise that the Laver Cup was going to be your last event?
Probably only like a month ago. I thought about it before. If this could be it, just felt my knee was not going to be good enough to play a tournament, a singles tournament anymore. And honestly, I didn't want to put the knee through it anymore. So the question was really just where to announce it, where could I say goodbye, where could I be during the announcement? Because I thought it was important for me not to be a ghost when I announced it and just announce it. And then he's not around and he's gone. So, but that there is a... I'm here, you know, and I'm actually doing okay, and I can do some interviews, and I can let people know that how much I'm looking forward to my next part of my life, and yeah, maybe be able to play something like a doubles or something at the Laver Cup, and if I can still help the team a little bit. And I asked Bjorn Borg if it was okay if I maybe just played a doubles. He's like, whatever it is, Roger, we are so happy to have you on the team, and so I'll do that, and I'll play doubles on Friday, and. Just felt like the Laver Cup was something special for me to be able to say goodbye. Bjorn Borg on the chair, all the other players around, Rod Laver in the arena, just felt very fitting at the end. And London as a city was obviously a special connection to Wimbledon at the World Tour Finals.
How hard and how emotional also was it to accept that your career is going to end now? And were there different stages of acceptance?
Definitely, I went through a lot of ups and downs in the sense of emotional moments. It was all good. It's all meant to be. It's all part of the process, you know. And I guess you could almost call it a bit of grieving, you know, because I will miss the game of tennis. I will miss probably not everything, but 99% of it, you know, I will miss. And I could now name a lot of things, what they are, but the people know what it could be, and that's what it is. And I'm happy I went through those phases of feeling emotional about it, you know? So that's why I can actually sit here, I feel, and actually speak quite relaxed and good about it, because I felt I went through those stages. I think because of it, I will be able to enjoy the weekend much more instead of being too worried about having to do an interview or speaking to people, meeting people, and just getting all too emotional and all worked up about it.
Mm-hmm. Reflecting on Laver Cup, how much did you think it would create this sort of excitement that it did and the spotlight from the fans when it was first launched?
I mean, we're celebrating the 5-year anniversary of the Laver Cup now. We were talking with Thomas Enqvist, the coach of Team Europe, today, and he goes, I can't believe it's been 5 years. It really has gone by in a flash. Some incredible matches played, some great emotions and moments we were able to live through. And I'm happy that we're able to stay true to where competitors become teammates. You know, I think that's really lived up to the expectations. I feel like we picked some incredible venues. Looking forward to Vancouver next year, Berlin in 2 years. I think those are great two new additions. I hope it's going to be fantastic to play there. From what I heard, it's going to the arenas are amazing. And for me to be having gone to all of them, I have seen the excitement grow, and everybody who has been to the Laver Cup personally or watched it on TV, everybody has been pretty much blown away and loved the energy and loved the weekend it gives to tennis, because I think the game of tennis deserves and needs an event like this. And I'm happy that there's so many players who actually want to take part, and I hope they really walk away with a lot of things learned, you know, by sharing being on a team with teammates they normally would never be on, and then also seeing the past generation as well, being able to speak to the likes of John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg, or seeing the young ones coming through. I think it's been a very special trip so far.
I mean, on paper, Team Europe looks unstoppable. How do you think you're going to avoid complacency?
We will not avoid complacency. I think we know that I am not at my very best. I think also Andy Murray knows that he's not Andy Murray that he used to be, but he still can offer a lot to Team Europe. I think with Rafa and Novak on the team, I think we can be very confident that if they show up and play and perform at their normal level, they're going to be extremely hard to beat. Ruud, who's just been on an incredible run, he knows what he's capable of doing, even on faster indoor courts. Stefanos has done very well in the Laver Cup ties. He's won his match against Kyrgios last year, played fantastic. So, and we can use him very well for the doubles as well. So I think we know about our chances. Berrettini also, I think indoors, he's going to be very strong. So I think we're looking very good. And the last thing we do on Team Europe or in tennis in general is going to underestimate anybody, because we know about their strength. They have a very strong doubles always. And then indoors, to be honest, best of three with Super Breaker in the third, a lot can happen. We've won a lot of close matches over the years. We're always ready for it to change, but hopefully not this year in London.
Roger, how important is it for you to stay involved in tennis past your career?
Well, I think it would be nice. I don't think it's completely necessary for me to do that, but I would miss it. And I can choose probably to be in it a little bit if I want to. The question is how, and that needs to be answered. I have to go into a bunker and think about it, you know, and really think about it, what the future holds. I'm looking forward to the future. I'm going to think about how to stay involved in tennis. But first and foremost, I want to be a good dad, good husband, be home a little bit more like I have been in the last couple of years. But if it means that I can maybe commentate from time to time, mentor juniors coming through Switzerland in some shape or form, go visiting tournaments, saying thank you and goodbye, and you know, just seeing them after all these years as a friend. So there's ways, I guess, I could stay involved.
As a child, I'm sure you had dreams of what you want to become and what you want to do, what you want to achieve. Did you ever dream this big?
I really didn't, you know. I see myself as a boy making jokes in the garden of my friend, saying like, "And here Roger Federer wins Wimbledon," you know, and I go to my knees and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I did win." But it wasn't like, he's going to win 8 times, you know, or he's going to be world number one, or this is not how my dreams were working. My dreams were working, let's try to get on a big court, let's try to become a professional tennis player, let's maybe win Wimbledon one time. So as I'm telling you, totally exceeded all my expectations.
You actually did that as a child?
Yeah.
You went?
I did.
So you'd be a good announcer.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, that sounded perfect.
Okay.
Look.
I can do better. This was just a quick one.
It's just a sample.
Yeah, exactly. Just a sample. I have many versions of them.
would that be an option to be commentator?
It's funny. 6 months ago, I all of a sudden said, you know what, maybe a bit of commentating, in selective tournaments, potentially, who knows, if people think I can bring something to the game, yeah, that could be fun. Whereas before I said, no way. Would I ever? Why would I do that? But I've really come to love that former great players give back to the game in a way of commentating. Yeah. Just because I think it is so much fun when a great former player gives their insights, because they know how it feels or what it is like to be out there in a crucial moment. And if people think that'd be cool, maybe I can consider, but I have no plans yet, so I still have to think about it, talk through it, and then eventually decide, I guess.
So Federer heads a star-studded Team Europe comprising Rafael Nadal, Andy Murray and Novak Djokovic, plus young guns Stefanos Tsitsipas and Casper Ruud, who's making his Laver Cup debut. Team World is made up of American trio Taylor Fritz, Francis Tiafoe and Jack Sock, plus Felix Auger-Aliassime, Diego Schwartzman and newcomer Australian Alex de Minaur. Joining me to preview the Laver Cup are Todd Woodbridge, Mark Petchie and Jim Courier, who are all on the ground in London. Welcome, gentlemen. Todd, perhaps if you could start by setting the scene for us.
Well, I think London is coming out of mourning. It was an interesting time to actually be here during the Queen's funeral, where you never see a major city go completely quiet with no traffic on the road for 24 hours, and that was what it was like. But it is now in a state where everybody is looking to move forward. And then we get to a sporting event like the Laver Cup, where we do have Roger Federer moving on as well. And there is so much interest in the event, in hearing from him, in actually seeing him on court for that one last time, that I think, given we've just seen Serena Williams retire at the US Open, this is going to be that similar experience where everybody wants to express what their images, feelings, emotions are about having watched somebody that's been so good at something for so long. And, I think when you look back at this, guys, it's about that full journey over a very long period of time of where he started in tennis and finishing here and what goes on in between. And Jim, you've been a big part of that, watching, playing, calling, interviewing. And I suppose for you, those memories are quite strong.
Yeah, sure. Look, he's left an impression across all tennis fans and a lot of sports fans who really just come to watch him play, not to watch the tennis. We understand how difficult this sport is, and he's made it look easier than anyone I've ever seen. And he's also made the off-court journey look easier than anyone I've ever seen, dealing with all the pressures and the expectations, the need for people to communicate and connect with him. He's been very available and very open and very human at the same time. While he's got sort of a godlike record, he's a very human character, and he's kind of goofy, and he lets you in. And it's been magical to watch him, and it's going to be magical to watch this dismount. It's going to be interesting to see how the crowd, the energy that they bring to the building. I'm not really sure what it's going to look and feel like, but I think I speak for all of us. We're very fortunate to be here to be witnesses to it.
Mm. Petch, you've had that experience of calling so many of his big matches. What stands out for you in what he was able to deliver in those encounters?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is that obviously he's got the titles, and he's legitimized that with the longevity that he's had in his sport. What, Wimbledon 2003 was his first Grand Slam, and in between that and Australia 2018, we witnessed something that I don't think we've ever seen before in tennis. And of course, all of those titles and matches won are quantifiable, but it was in for many of us, it was the artistic merit which Roger won those matches in and won those big matches in that will be the everlasting memory that certainly I will take away from him. He was one of those rare champions that was able to bring the intensity, the passion that you need in such a demanding sport and a selfish sport, and yet somehow seemingly with grace, with elegance, and with a certain amount of charm out there, deliver a performance. And it was almost like it was a performance rather than it was a sport that was about winning and losing and absolutely no gray area. And I think that that's the thing that I will always take away from Roger, was the potential that he had, that he ended up championing perfection by the end.
I look back on it and I remember watching so many great interviews of you, Jim, particularly at the Australian Open, where you just seemed to get so much out of him. And then I personally had the opportunity to do some corporate speaking with him, where I was manoeuvring and moderating conversation. And then I worked out, Jim, I'm not sure if you're as good as I thought, because he was just one of the most easiest interviews on court.
No, I promise you, all you have to do with Roger is just say hello and offer a microphone, and he's off and running and giving you great content, and he'll take conversations, as I'm sure you experience with him, in directions you don't expect. And he's just very open, and he's very comfortable with himself and very comfortable with his celebrity. And we experienced what it was like for someone like Pete Sampras in our generation, who really struggled with that connection with the audience and feeling isolated from them in a way because he was so famous. And Roger really embraced it, and that really comes out in everything that he does. And it makes us look a lot better than we deserve to when we're talking with him, that's for sure.
I think there was something so authentic about Roger when you asked him a question, that even when it was obviously a question that was making him sound as great as he was back then, he would answer it in kind of that vein as well. And there was no false modesty with him. I remember back in 2011, he was voted the second most recognizable person on the planet. And he was second only to Nelson Mandela. And and I asked him that particular question, and he was like, yeah, it's an incredible thing. And you were just like, and it must be. To be Roger Federer must have been pretty good on many, many days.
I'd say it is. Now, let's move on a little bit and talk about Labor Cup, if we should, because he's going to be that big part of it. He was influential in getting it started. But what are we expecting come this weekend?
Oh, man. Can Team World get on the board is the big question, right? They've had some struggles. There have been some close calls over the four prior contests. But last year in Boston was blowout city. Team Europe absolutely destroyed Team World. So I would expect that the Mack brothers will have a huge chip on their shoulder, and they'll be using a lot of motivation to get their young team fired up to go into battle. And we'll see. Obviously, there's a little bit of uncertainty. You know, we expect that Berrettini's going to come in and play singles for Federer. We think everyone else should be healthy and go. But can Team World make this a real contest is something I'm really curious and excited to see, because they're certainly heavy underdogs once again, Petch.
They are. And, I think obviously we were fortunate enough to be out there today watching obviously everyone practice. It's a very abrasive court surface in the O2. It looks a little bit slower, if I might say, than when it was played here in the O2 in the past. Obviously, it's early days with the court as it is, but obviously this hasn't been the happiest of hunting grounds for Rafa over the years in these kind of conditions. So that perhaps in some respects, looking at the conditions, nullifies some of the strengths that obviously the Spaniard brings to the court. Obviously, I think it perhaps will favour someone like Casper Ruud. It may dent a little bit, as you say, Berrettini, who's probably going to come in and play as well. Novak obviously has been out of action in terms of competitive tennis for a while. It does leave the door open for a big win for Team World. I like their chances out there with the players that they've got this year. So, and as you say, in terms of trying to leveling things up a little bit in this Laver Cup, they need a win.
And Todd, just throwing one back at you. What about the concept of this is the last time, and it's really the only time in this competition we're seeing the big four together on Team Europe? It's Murray, it's Federer, it's Djokovic, it's Nadal, all on the same side. That's never happened before. How special is that going to be?
Well, I think that's been part of the excitement before we even got Roger's retirement news, is that they're all there together. I mean, when you look at the journeys, we've got there's two players there that have been so wonderful, Roger and Andy, in winning majors. But they may be the two players that give Team World the opportunity to actually sneak in a little bit. And we've never looked at it that way. Yes, they're the big four, but there's two at that other end now. And so when you're looking at how can you win points if you're John McEnroe and the captain, and you've got to work out the matchups that, you know, can you get somebody that might be able to beat Andy? He's been playing well, but he isn't the player that he was when he was winning Wimbledon and a US Open. And, you know, potentially the same in the doubles for Roger. You know, they're a couple of players that actually need to be targeted by Team World. So as wonderful as it is and as spectacle, there is an opportunity and a real window for the youngsters. And, you know, I'm really keen on how Francis Tiafoe goes in this, because I thought his improvement levels were really great at the US Open. He's been working on a game. It's developed. He's much better volleyer, and he must have some self-belief. So there are a couple of little pieces out there where I go to Team World, here's your window. You're going to have to target those. So we'll see whether they're able to or not. And, you know, those champion qualities, they always shine through, don't they? So I expect we'll still see a bit of that from Roger and from Andy.
And, Jim, what about Diego and Tommy Paul? Obviously, Tommy Paul has been playing some great tennis this year in 2022. Diego maybe hasn't been playing quite so well. Do you feel as though Tommy may make a bit of an appearance this weekend?
I mean, Tommy is the alternate for Team World, so he would be the first one to step up if someone was out with an injury. Schwartzman's been struggling, right? He made the third round of the U.S. Open, but didn't play particularly well in Davis Cup last week. So you never really know. You know, you got some rookies in there like Dimonor, who played well in Davis Cup last week as well and made the third round of the U.S. Open. He has a little bit of momentum, and I think Jack Sock is going to be a real key. Sock is arguably the best doubles player in the world. I would put Rafa certainly right there in that category as individual doubles players. And obviously we have one of the all-time greats in Todd to weigh in on that. But I think that Sock can have big impact, because remember, there's 1 point for doubles on Friday, 2 on Saturday, and 3 on Sunday available. Those can be critical points, Todd.
Yeah, and that's one player who, when you look at his career path, this event has been one of the major highlights for him, is where he's been able to win elusive points for Team World. And he does have that ability to dictate a doubles court no matter who he plays with. And he's really going to have to bring that again if he wants to do that. But, you know, my suspicion tells me that if you've thrown Rafa out there as another great individual, then he may be put with who I think, if he had played more doubles, would have won more majors. He won Olympic gold, and that's Roger. So that's going to be a formidable team, and if that does come to fruition, I can't wait to watch that. And I'd love them to be up against Jack and the best that they can put on, because that is going to be a key match.
I'm sure that's what the Max will put out.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think the Max are under a little bit of pressure this weekend as well? I mean, you've obviously got a lot of big stars around the world that I'm sure would love to have a crack at the Team World captaincy. You got Andy Roddick over in the States. I'm sure he'd love to come and be a part of this.
Jim, are you looking for a job in it as well? Or
yeah, I'm pretty content to be on with the headphones on next to you guys up there. But I tell you that there's no question that John and Patrick are desperate for a win. I'm sure they feel a little bit of pressure after 5 years, and I'm sure they're just tired of Bjorn beating up on them. Because, you know, Bjorn's such a braggart, all he does is rub it in your nose.
And he does it so quietly, too, by actually not saying too much. Just a little smile is enough.
Yeah, it's a smirk. Yeah, it's the Bjorn smirk. It's a famous one. It lets you know he's got your number, though.
Well, Team Europe has held a firm grip on the Laver Cup since its inaugural event in 2018, lifting the trophy in Prague, Chicago, Geneva, and Boston. But the competition has never been hotter, and for John McEnroe, there's pride on the line as the Team World captain takes on his old nemesis, Bjorn Borg.
Well, there's a lot of history between us, and Roger, you know, deciding to retire here at Laver Cup in London, where he had the scenes of some of his greatest triumphs, as well as both of us. There's a lot of history here in London with Wimbledon, obviously. O2 Arena has not been around that long, but it's got a rich tradition of great concerts. So I'm pumped up. I've been here many times. Hopefully, finally, there'll be a different result.
You think so? You know, I'm hoping so.
You're hoping?
Hope springs eternal, you know.
No, definitely what John said. It's traditional. London is London. So much tennis here. And with it, both the teams, we have a good team, Team Europe. They have a great team, the world. And hopefully, not hopefully, I know we're going to see good tennis. That's important for us and for the people.
And again, for both of you, it's the fifth Laver Cup, of course. What have you both learned from the previous four encounters?
Well, I've learned that losing is horrible, which I've done consistently. But I knew that before. So I love being part of a team. We've been very close on two occasions. Last year was, you know, catastrophic for us. So there's a lot of... need to sort of turn the result around for the good of my sanity.
And what about you, Bjorn? What have you learned about the previous four?
No, I think we've, as a captain, both captains, we have a good time. We're happy to be part of Laver Cup because you have the best players in the world and you see good tennis. And like John said, it's been very close a couple of times. It could go either way, but we've been a little bit lucky to win those occasions, but to see me and John Laver Cup, it's for us, it's a big thing.
And a question for you specifically, Bjorn, of course, there's something extra special about this year, isn't it? Of course, the Big Four, not as young as they used to be, but how special is it having those four names in one team, probably for the last time together?
Maybe not the last time, could be, but you have the Big Four. It's very special for tennis in general, for the people to watch these guys, probably the last time they played together. And I'm happy to be part of this history because both me and John, we've been following these players for so many years, and what they did for tennis in general is unbelievable. So I'm very happy to be part of this Laver Cup this time.
And what about for you, John, to face those four guys? Of course, we know what history they have and what talents they have had, but what sort of threat do they pose these days?
Well, honestly, I didn't think it would happen. With Andy, so he's gone through, and Roger's been trying to figure out when he was going to try to get back or end it. Even Rafa, you look at Rafa, you know, met a lot of people like, wow, he's still playing at this level and everything that Novak's gone through this year. So, this is a very rare thing, which is awesome. So even though they're the adversary, it is a special thing to sort of see those four on the other side. And I think it, I can't think, I know it will inspire our guys. I mean, they're going to want it even more. You're looking at, you know, legends of our sport.
And Bjorn, of course, talking of legends of the sport, mentioned it before, it probably is the last time we're going to see Roger on a court competitively, certainly in the Laver Cup. How special is that going to be and how important will it be to send Roger out on a high?
I think to be part of the history with Roger, he did so much for the tennis in general. One of the greatest players ever played the game. For him to be here, I think even special for him, because he enjoyed it very much. But to see him play and to be part of it. And the same with me, and I'm sure with John too, that we're just going to enjoy the situation.
And John, tell us a bit about your lineup. Of course, sad that we had to lose John, but what a replacement in Francis Tiafoe. We saw what he did a couple of weeks ago in New York. Just tell us a little about how excited you are about the team.
Well, I was trying to stall as much as possible to see who got hot. Unfortunately, or unfortunately, you know, because John's been a stalwart for our team. But Francis was trending in the right direction. He brings a lot of energy, and he's got obviously some great talent. So that's a hell of a substitute. So, there's some new guys, some effort, you know, guys that just dig in and give that incredible effort. Aussies were late, obviously Rod Laver. I mean, he was my idol. He's pretty much everyone's idol in Australia. So I'm sure a guy like Alex de Minaur is going to be, you know, more pumped up. It's his first time playing. So there's a couple guys that have been here a few times, but not, you know, guys that have been here a lot of the time. So I think it sort of cleans the slate in a way for us so that we can go in thinking, hey, we got a realistic shot at this.
And Bjorn, a final one for you. As you mentioned before, you and John, of course, had some great success just down the road in West London over there. What are your thoughts, though, on this wonderful arena here in the O2?
I think for me personally, the first time I'm here, it's beautiful. It's fantastic. And especially to be with my friends, even we are rivals and we're still going to be rivals.
Are you sure?
No. So it's going to be a fun thing, but very serious, because we're still very competitive, me and Josh.
Talking of fun things, finally for you, John, we all remember Jim Courier jumping into the Yarra River after winning the Australian Open. Are we going to see a dip into the tens out there if you get a victory?
I will consider it, but you know, this is a different time of the year, and I'm a lot older than he was at the time. So, but you know, it might be worth it. If I get a win, I've got to do something wild.
That's all for this episode and for season 4 of the AO Show. Thanks for joining us on the ride all year long. Make sure you keep your eyes peeled for season 5 as we begin the countdown to Australian Open 2023. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, and if you like what you hear, please rate and review so more fans can enjoy the AO Show.